Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Brought to you by Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. This is the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Good to have you in. So Aaron Rodgers, our guys in the back are watching it, editing it, cutting it up, and we're just kind of waiting on them. Aaron Rodgers talked today. We didn't know exactly what he would do. You know, there is a certain freedom, though. When you're leaving a company and you know you're eventually leaving it, there is a, Joy Taylor joining me, a certain freedom that, what do you care if your bosses are pissed?
Right.
You're leaving. You don't care. You're going to work really, really hard, and the chips fall where they may, but you don't, you know.
You don't really, it seems like he doesn't feel the need to be the company man he's pretty much always been.
Well, if
we saw a little bit of this with Brady. And Tom versus Time, you saw him start to
throw some jabs at the organization. You're not with me. I'm not here.
Giselle saying, you know, he just wants to be appreciated. You know, at the end, you start getting a little loose with the secrets that you were protecting because there's really no value in you keeping them anymore.
Well, teams want you as a player to be all in. And so what Aaron Rodgers is saying is, you want me to be totally invested here. But you won't give me a heads up on even my quarterback coach.
Yeah, you're not. You want me to be totally invested, but you're not totally invested in me.
And now Green Bay would say, listen, Aaron had three straight slightly declining seasons and a little bit of a collarbone injury issue, so we wanted to draft a quarterback. Now, I can understand that. As I've said this multiple times on the show, if they would have drafted Jordan Love, but then in the second round, taken one of the, you know, Chase Claypool, Michael Pittman, T. Higgins, gone receiver. But what they did is they made the whole draft about sort of developmental players, a blocking tight end, a power back, a prospect. Their first four rounds, they got no special players, none.
And they aren't in the development space.
They're in the win now space.
Right.
So that is where I think you and I converge on this, is that we may... You tend to be a little more pro player than me, but most of the time I'm like, if a player's in dysfunction, get the hell out.
Right.
So in the Aaron situation, he's saying we're really close and you kind of butchered the draft. And I think it's be very careful about saying, and I see Packer fans saying this, well, when Brett Favre was there, they drafted Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers was a huge hot prospect. People thought he was going to be arguably the number one pick. He fell so far in the draft that Green Bay went, we don't need a quarterback, but we have to take him. That's what they did. Baltimore didn't necessarily start the draft thinking we're going to take Lamar. But Lamar was out of the top 10. He's out of the top 15. He's out of the top 18. And all of a sudden, Baltimore's like, okay, now we got to go get him. He's way too good. The way a lot of these general managers think is, it may not be. I've been in a war room. I've talked to multiple GMs. You may not need, the Packers didn't need Aaron Rodgers when they drafted him, but he was a five-star prospect who fell to the late first round. That is not the Jordan Love story. Jordan Love is a prospect who had a very divided support. Very divided. My guys didn't like him. I had one scout that thought he was worth drafting. Two other GMs I talked to thought, big risk, a lot of stuff. There was the marijuana thing. He had a bad last year. It felt like you were kind of drafting him because of Mahomes. There was maturity issues. Again, bad last season. So Aaron today is back, and he's at the podium. So let's start with the first bite. This is Aaron Rodgers on his future in Green Bay.
I'm definitely not closing the door on anything. I'm always optimistic in the ability to change. I would never want anybody to give up on me, and I wouldn't be here if I wasn't 100% all in.
That's a pretty good bite. Well thought. What do you think of that?
I think that's what he should be saying at this point. If he's going to come back and he's the competitor that he is, you got to give it everything you have. He can't be halfway in.
And
that's
by the
right
way,
thing to say.
Yeah, I wouldn't want you to give up on me. I'm not going to give up on you.
Well, also, why say that you know what you're going to do right now? If they go win a Super Bowl and everything's changed, he might not feel that way. So why lock himself in a corner by saying this is definitely my last year? And why add that extra cloud to him and all of his teammates in the organization, which we're going to be talking about this anyway, but why confirm that this is your last year?
Okay, second bite, Aaron Rodgers on the lame duck quarterback year, which it feels like.
As I felt like, if you can't commit to me past 2021, and I'm not a part of recruiting process and free agency, if I'm not a part of the future, then instead of letting me be a lame duck quarterback, if you want to make a change and move forward, then go ahead and do it. That obviously didn't happen.
That's where I've defended him. That's the number one space I've defended Aaron. I'm four lockers away from the guy who I'm way better than. I just won MVP, and I'm a lame duck. I've said before, if I get replaced here, fine. But if you hire him, and he's two lockers down, and I'm still elite, just trade me. Just let me go. I'm okay moving off me. I get it, but I want to have some. I don't want to be humiliated. The third bite, Aaron Rodgers. More. This is more than money here we're talking about.
There wasn't a draft day thing. There were conversations for a number of months leading up to that. Post the draft, I think what basically happened was then they said, we'll give you some money now. Let's see if we can throw some money at you. I said from the start it wasn't about the money. Obviously, I didn't show up for the off-season program or mini camp. To me, it was bigger than this. It was about trying to be a resource for the organization that I care about and love so much.
That's his best bite. That so far, that's his best bite. Impossible as a Packer fan when somebody says, I love this organization, I want to be a resource. That makes the front office of Green Bay look ridiculous. It really makes the front office of Green Bay look like, why don't you love it more? That's a good one for Aaron. Ding! Aaron won that one. That's a good bite for Aaron. It makes the front office look rigid, out of touch, and uncaring. That's a huge win for Aaron. Now, this is the best one because I just watched it before when we went to commercial on retirement. Aaron is asked about retirement.
Was there a point over the last few months when you seriously considered retirement? And at what point did you change your mind and decide to actually come back?
Yeah, that was definitely something I thought about. I talked about how important being a full-timer was for a long time. This was the first time to spend the off-season away without a COVID year or a lockout year. And I enjoyed it. You know, I really did. I took time working on myself and trying to better myself in a number of areas where I feel like I could improve based on my own patterns and conditioning.
Yeah, the bite went even longer. I'd let it go longer, guys, when we play it again. I'd let that bite go even longer. That's very, very good. He kind of goes on and on about, you know, listen, I found that I enjoy other stuff besides football. I thought it was a really good bite. I got to tell you, so far it's A-plus Aaron. I think all this stuff falls very good. He's open. He's honest. He's non-emotional. He loves this organization. He did think about retirement. There's other things he likes. There's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Not everybody has to be.
He's coming across as very authentic for a guy that we often criticize as being kind of aloof and
manipulative
or selfish or Hollywood. This whole press conference has really helped to put in perspective what he was dealing with. Now, it was mostly what we assumed, which was that he wanted to feel like he's a part of the process there and not what's being moved on from. And he deserves that. But He's really coming from a place of humility and like measured understanding of the situation.
Let me defend Aaron. So Russell Wilson and Brady, their brand is football and family. Well, Aaron doesn't have, he's not married, he doesn't have kids. So Aaron's brand is football and this offseason he found the and. The and was his fiance, Jeopardy. So Aaron, when you're single, you know, LeBron, It's family, hoops, business. Well, Kevin Durant's single. So it's hoops and. What is the and? And for Kevin Durant, it's business, it's social media. So Aaron doesn't go home to the wife and the kids. So Aaron has, not that it's a hole, but Aaron this offseason was searching for the and. Russell Wilson and Brady have that. I have that. Okay? So, but by the way, you're single and without kids. You travel a lot on the weekends.
Exactly.
Exactly. So you have an and is Miami, it's New York, it's friends, it's Vegas. And so I think Aaron spent this offseason searching for the second part of his life. And I'm not a psychologist here, but the football part's great. Okay, then it gets disrupted, and Aaron's thinking, wow, the one thing in my life that I'm great at, like now I'm a little unsettled with that. So I'm going to go look for the and part of my life. And that included thinking about leaving the thing that he's great at. So in that retirement bite, and we'll re-edit it and give it longer, he does say that he thought about it, but in the end, he knew he was good at it, he loved it, he was committed to it, and he wanted to come back. And I thought it was a very healthy bite by Aaron Rodgers. Overall, I really like what he did. And as I watch all these bites, it reminds me when David Letterman left NBC and held a press conference for CBS. And all the executives for NBC watched it. And in the movie about Letterman and Leno, the NBC executives watched Letterman crush it. Absolutely crush it at the CBS press conference. And they all turned to each other and said, I hope we didn't screw this thing up. He was really good. And I sit and watch that press conference. And if you're Brian Gutekunst or Mark Murphy, Aaron looks really smart and really thought out and really humble and really authentic. And in the 2020 draft, you took a prospect at quarterback, a 250-pound running back, a blocking tight end, and you had no fourth-round pick. It kind of upset him. To me, this is win, 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 win Aaron Rodgers. I think it's I'm not a Packer fan, so I can't speak for them. But I think Aaron comes off great here. Everything you'd want him to be. Soft-spoken, unemotional. I love the game. I'm totally committed. I'm hurt. What he's saying is, I'm hurt.
Yeah, I mean, you would expect him to come in if he's going to talk like this and it'd be scathing. But it's
vulnerable.
Opposite. Yes.
It's like, hey, man, I'm committed. If you're not committed, you can trade me.
Yeah.
I think that's as good as Aaron's ever been. Bravo to Aaron Rodgers. Tip of the cap to Aaron Rodgers. It's really that's my interpretation of what I'm listening to.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Tomorrow night's NBA draft is featured on the free-to-play Fox Bet Super 6 app. Scan the QR code below, download the app, and answer 6 questions about the draft for your shot to win $1,000.
By the way, Navien tankless water heaters, 15-year limited warranty, save big on your water bill, they're high efficiency. So Aaron Rodgers has a bunch of good quotes today. We're efforting more. Will Blackman played for the Packers, 10 NFL seasons, one of the guys that knows Aaron well. He's joining us now live. He is very geeked up for the Packers season, as you can tell. Look at Will Blackman is very jacked up for the... So
listen, I even got the Aaron jersey. I'm ready.
So you watched the entire press conference, did you not?
I did. I scrambled.
What did you make of his retirement comments when he acknowledged that he did think about it and that ultimately he loves the game, but that he did think about it? Would that worry you at all as a Packer?
It would not worry. First of all, what's this, year 17 for him?
Yeah.
And he finally got to enjoy a legit off season. He was in love. He got to host on his favorite show, Jeopardy. He played golf. He made a lot of friends, traveled around, and he truly got to relax. Like, he was really enjoying himself. And I think for him, that was a personal thing that he needed to do. And he's like, man, this isn't so bad. You know, and then he did talk about, like, once he started training, then the competitive juices came back. And what's funny is that's honestly how it is when you're done playing, is like you know, I'm going to go throw the football around. Let me move around. And one day I feel really good. I'm like, ah, you know what? Maybe I can come back for a little bit. But I don't think they should be concerned, but I understand why he felt that way.
So the one bite that some people will bristle at, and we haven't played it yet on this show, is where Aaron says, listen, I know Green Bay is not a vacation destination, that I would like to be committed and help recruit free agents here. I know they're coming to play with me. It doesn't bother me at all because I do think Brady, Aaron, Mahomes are very attractive to players. You know you have a chance. You know, I think Josh Allen's moving into that. Lamar Jackson. So did that bother you? Was that off-putting to you when he said, hey, this is not a resort destination. I'm trying to recruit because I know guys want to come and play with me. Did that bother you?
No, that is 100% a fact.
Yeah.
And I always go back to the example of when Charles Woodson ended up becoming a free agent. This was 2006. He had one team call him. I think the Dolphins were in the mix, but one team called him. And this is from Charles. He said, Green Bay called. And Charles looked at his agent. He said, I'm not going to Green Bay. He said, there's no way in hell I'm going to Green Bay. But that was his only chance to play football. So then he ended up, you know, all right, he'll do it. You know, went and got paid. And obviously the rest is history. But it's not. And the one thing I always thought about when it comes to a quarterback, there have been a lot of receivers who should have been really good in the NFL, and perhaps they didn't have a great quarterback. You know, having a great quarterback, at the end of the day, that's all that matters. You need that ball on the money. So, yeah, guys came to Green Bay to, you know, play with Favre, but guys will come to Green Bay to play with Aaron Rodgers. I totally, totally agree with that. And the fact that that's not an insult to say Green Bay is not a vacation destination. It's not a vacation destination unless you're coming to hunt.
Yeah.
You know?
That's right. So I've asked you about retirement. I asked you about that bite. If I had not watched the Aaron Rodgers press conference and you had to describe it in a minute or two, what was your takeaway of the whole thing?
My takeaway of the whole thing is I thought he was very honest, very transparent. And those are the two things. And that's all you can ask for when it comes to a press conference. And he cleared a lot of the stuff that people were saying. I was on a couple of shows this week just talking about I think he's enjoying the fact that everyone is trying to figure out why or what is going on. So they're creating all these stories and content. I think he's literally sitting back and laughing. And it confirmed when he showed up, you know, with his man bun and his office T-shirt and his Bret the Hitman Hart glasses strutting in. And he's just laughing to himself like, guys, you guys have no idea what really went on. So I think it was really cool for him to go up there and clear the air. And that's what you want. Like, just tell us what it is. You know, it was hard for me to even do these interviews and speak for him because he hasn't been saying anything. I don't know what he wants. So I'm not going to make something up if I haven't spoken to the person myself.
Transparent. You use that word. That's actually the perfect word. He was very transparent today. And I thought that was important. You know, I was saying this earlier and I put my psychologist hat on, is that with Russell Wilson and Brady, it's family and football. With Aaron, it's football and this offseason felt like he tried to find the and, because he doesn't have kids. He doesn't go home. He's got that hole, and it's not, I'm not saying you can't be single and successful. I'm not saying that. But I did feel like this was kind of it was such a disappointing way to lose to Brady at home that Aaron went out this year and said, I'm going to find myself a little bit here. I am so committed to football, and I don't know if the Packers are totally committed to me. And it felt like for mental health, and we've talked a lot about that on this show for the last 2 days, I thought Aaron looked at this offseason and thought, I got to take care of some mental health stuff here because I don't have an and. I don't have kids and a family. I'm going to go fill in some of that and because I don't know if the one thing I thought I had, which is a great Packer quarterback, I don't even know if I'm going to have that. And that's my takeaway on what he did this offseason. You can respond to that.
Yeah, I think he found his and last year when he got engaged. And especially when you're in a situation where something you're totally committed to is not, you know, how you want it to be, you end up putting your attention and your focus somewhere else. So being he did have some conflict, you know, with the Packers organization, he was like, you know what? While that's going on, in the meantime, I'm going to put my energy here. He does have something else. You know, this is legit something else. It's not a vice. He didn't go and try to find something else. He legit has something else. And he's like, I enjoy this something else that's going on. So I'm going to put all my energy into that. So that's where it was different. So he's like, man, I can do this. I don't need to. I've done everything. I'm a Hall of Fame quarterback. He knows that. And we know that. I don't need to do anything else. But I do. I still want to do it, you know? So I think that's where it came from, where that was his, to your word, his and. He already found that.
And finally, Will Blackman joining us, 10 NFL seasons, Super Bowl champ with the New York Giants. When you know the culture of Green Bay, and it's kind of it's a different front office where you don't have your owner. There's the board. Everything gets passed through it. It is small town USA. That's very unique in American pro sports. They're usually in big cities or moderately big cities. What do you think the Packers, Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst, as they watched the press conference today, what do you think they were thinking?
I don't. First of all, everyone, I have really good Wi-Fi, so this is not me all pixelated. Let me get that out the way right now. Okay, this looks all like, I look like I'm on a flip phone right now. I have a Razor or something. This is not mine. But I have no idea what they're thinking. The cool thing about when I was there is usually Green Bay did a good job of keeping all of the drama like upstairs. It never got into the locker room. It never made us feel weird. The only time we were confused or questioned was with the Favre situation. But we also were thinking like, well, if Favre stays, we're good. If Favre leaves, we're good. We're going to have a good quarterback regardless.
Right.
But I think they're just – they're probably praying and hoping that, you know what, let's just do our thing this year. Let's just go all in and try to get this done and win a Super Bowl. So I think that's what they're thinking in right now, you know. And why not include him in the discussions and conversations? If anyone outside of Tom Brady has earned that right, it is Aaron Rodgers, no question about it.
I think the hardest thing to do, and it's happened to me several times in my career, when I know I'm leaving a place, it is hard to concentrate on the place I'm currently at, right? Aaron may deep down think, I'm committed to this season, but I think I'm leaving. If you had an idea that you were probably not long for a place, how hard would it to be to lock in on a daily basis to the minutia of football, because there's a lot more than games. There's a lot of minutia to this stuff.
Yeah, it is super hard to lock in and concentrate when you probably already checked out for the next year. But he's strong enough mentally to where he's like, I have one more year. The window is still open for us to go ahead and win. If the window closed and they were getting worse, that would be a terrible situation. But I think he still has his guys. He has Davante Adams. He just got Randall Cobb. Someone he trusts. He still has people. Again, this goes back to maybe he doesn't trust the front office, but again, he has people in his personal life that he trusts. He has people on the team that he trusts. So he has those people, especially their receivers that you're throwing to. So I think I know he's going to be totally committed, locked in, and he can play. He can play in adverse situations. He has that that mental endurance, and I feel like that's probably the most important attribute when it comes to a quarterback. Is that's why I put Tom Brady, that's his best attribute, is the mental endurance, not only to handle any situation, but for him to keep winning, for him to keep finding ways to go ahead and keep winning. And I believe Aaron Rodgers has that mental endurance to lock in this year and try to get it done.
Decade Super Bowl champ Will Blackman, a former Packer with a great deal of pride. You know, you got the same build as Aaron Rodgers. You're an athlete, but you're not too chunky, and you look like
what chunky.
Did you ever play quarterback in like junior high?
What am I, a soup? Did I play quarterback in junior high?
Yeah.
No, my favorite player was Barry Sanders. I wanted the ball now. I want to make everyone miss. I played quarterback in flag, but I never threw the ball.
You look like a quarterback a little bit there today.
Well, you know what? I'm 226, Colin. I played at 212, but I still fit all my clothes. So I'm pretty lean.
Good seeing you, buddy. Wait.
You too. Yeah, you too. Next time I invite you to something, you attend. All right?
I know. He invites me to stuff like with an hour to go. Hey, I got a massive event. Can you go? And I'm like, I got more kids than the Brady Bunch. You can't just throw.
Your kids are like 30 years old. You mean more kids? I had a cool whiskey event with Jalen Ramsey's dad.
I know.
Came. It was fun.
I know. All right, buddy. Will Blackman.
Thank you.
Great to see you. Good clarity on that. All right, Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the NBA is working to finalize a rule to restrict some of the unnatural moves players use to draw fouls.
I like this idea.
So the change would reportedly train officials to identify non-basketball moves, such as offensive players launching into defenders, abruptly veering off of their path, and using their arm to hook the defender, and shooters kicking their legs out at abnormal angles. So if the contact on these plays is marginal, then no foul will be called. But if the offensive player is deemed to have had more than marginal contact, then an offensive play can be fouled. So once this is fully implemented, this is a game changer, literally.
Yes, I think this is actually, this is something that drives me nuts. It's manipulating the rules. So a defensive player is running down the floor, an offensive guy leans into him. It's like, okay, stop that. That's not authentic to the rules and how the game should be played.
It's a play on aesthetics, which can often fool the referees. But yeah, I mean, look. I think if you are a good player, you're going to take advantage of whatever the rules are.
Right.
So that's why they're changing this. So you can be mad at the players for taking advantage of it, but if that's how it's officiated, that's how it goes.
That's right.
So the rule would take effect next season. It's not been voted on by the Board of Governors as we know of yet, but this is a thing that fans complain about. Some media members have complained about it because it is not in the spirit of the game.
Right.
But I do think this will... this might take a little bit of the finesse player's power away, because these moves allow smaller players in some cases to be more aggressive.
Yes.
Because they're not able to take the pounding that the bigger players take. So these, you know, this is how they get fouls,
right,
in a lot of cases. So it'll be interesting to see how it affects those players. So Tua is about to begin his second season with the Dolphins, and the pressure is on him to make a big leap this year. Brian Flores is confident he's going to see strides from his quarterback as he takes on the full-time starter role.
Made a lot of progress, I would say, throughout the spring. He'll be able to, you know, meet, practice, you know, perform in games, healthy, the whole, all of it. So we're excited about, you know, two. We're really excited about all the quarterbacks.
Well, they have really good targets. So there is no excuse between Will Fuller, Jalen Waddle they drafted, mm-hmm, Devontae Parker, Mike Gesicki, who's a great underrated tight end. There's no excuse here. This is really a really very, very potent. They're the opposite of the Patriots. They may have issues on their O-line. There are no issues on the perimeter. That's the opposite of New England, which has a great O-line and nobody that can separate on the outside.
Here's the thing with Tua, and obviously I think you and I are in the same space with Tua. I haven't seen anything to make me a believer yet.
That's right.
That doesn't mean that he's not going to develop into a great player. It just means I'm not there yet. I don't know why that makes me a hater. It just means I haven't seen anything. I don't know what anyone has seen on the field that would make you feel differently, but we'll see. Here's the situation with the Dolphins to me, though. Two things. One, Tua is always going to be compared to Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, because that's his draft class. I don't know anyone who thinks that Tua is on the same level as Justin Herbert and Joe Burrow right now.
No, that's right.
Two, the other person he's going to be compared to for the rest of his career is who? Trey Lance. Dolphins had that pick. They traded out of that to buy fully into Tua. Now, I don't think Trey Lance is going to see the field this year, and I don't know how much that turns the clock up on Tua, but I just don't believe that he has this super long runway to keep developing.
No.
Whether that's fair or not is really irrelevant, because the circumstance that you go into and the place that you play matters. Miami is a place where you need to be relevant, similar to Los Angeles. You can't just be terrible. It doesn't work that way. There's too much going on.
You can't tell me that Tua's great gift is he's accurate. You've got to be accurate in this league.
Right.
That's
the bare minimum.
Yeah. The idea, he's accurate. All right. That's a building block, but it's kind of the foundation of the house. If you can't throw an accurate football, go ask Troy Aikman. If you can't put the ball in the spot in the league, you're out of the league.
That matters where he plays, but also I think the circumstances you go into. If you're Joe Burrow going to the Bengals, you've got a long runway.
Yeah.
If you're Trevor Lawrence, you go into Jacksonville, you've got a long runway.
Yeah.
If you're Josh Allen going to the Bills, you have a long runway.
Tua doesn't.
what you have around you matters. The defense is ready to win right now. Special teams, good. You have the weapons. This stuff matters if you're in a situation like that. So Aaron Rodgers had a pretty amazing press conference not too long ago, a few moments ago, and he was very open, as Will said, transparent. And one thing that he talked about was his future and in Green Bay, and he talked about Green Bay not necessarily being a destination.
I'm definitely not closing the door on anything. I'm always optimistic in the ability to change. I would never want anybody to give up on me, and I wouldn't be here if I wasn't 100% all in.
Okay, well, that wasn't it, but he talked about Green Bay not necessarily being a destination and people are wanting to play with him, which I think is accurate. It might be the one thing that people could pull away and be upset about, which what he said today, because I think everything else was very measured, and he had humility and transparency and was very honest and open about the situation. But he's also right. Like, I don't know how you can watch that press conference and listen to what he said and take anything away from it other than Aaron Rodgers was managing his career. He felt slighted and he kind of deserved to.
Yeah, no, I thought his retirement bite was, I thought, you know, I think
all of it felt very fair.
Yeah, and very transparent. And I think if you're the front office of Green Bay, the only bite that where I could see people in Green Bay, you know, it's very Midwest, very cheese hat. I could see them saying when Aaron said, listen, this is not a destination, vacation destination.
Right.
I was going to help recruit people here because I know they want to play with me. And I can see people in Green Bay go, that's too much ego. Folks, Favre had an ego. Brady's got an ego. You cannot be, I mean, Michael Jordan has it. LeBron has it. Not everybody can be John Stockton.
Okay. Like, also know thyself. Like,
yeah,
you have people lining up to do that. No, like where you are is, I thought Josh Allen was a good example by you. It's Buffalo. It's absolutely freezing in the winter. Like, legendarily cold.
Right.
If you're going to sign up to go play there and play in that weather, and look, I know everyone loves Buffalo that lives there, but it's not Los Angeles, it's not Dallas, it's not Arizona.
Stephon Diggs went from playing indoors to playing outdoors in Buffalo and was totally excited because of Josh Allen.
Yes,
that
and,
is it.
And the fan base, I'm sure, helps as well because they have incredible fans.
That's great, but
if they're not playing with Josh Allen as Stephon Diggs, that's a bad move for your career.
Kirk Cousins doesn't throw a great deep ball. Josh throws arguably the best deep ball. I'm Stephon Diggs. I'm a playmaker. Stephon Diggs was jacked going to Buffalo. Not Sean McDermott. One reason, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, you got to have the dude. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
Yeah, more on Aaron Rodgers in retirement, more sound bites coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Driven to be the best, M-Drive. Check it out. Refine your prime with M-Drive. Boost and burn. Free shipping. M-Drive from N.com. Okay, Aaron Rodgers held a press conference today for a long time with a lot of interesting things to say. I thought he hit it out of the park. He was all the things I would expect him to be. Smart. You know, that part, pretty easy. But he was authentic, very transparent. Probably made the Packers front office a little nervous. He talked about retirement because there had been talk that he would retire. I've said from the beginning, I didn't see it happening. He's too good. I would get, if he had another injury at the end of maybe this year or next year and you're 38, 39, and it's a serious injury, I would get it. He's got $100 million in the bank, but he talked about retirement in the recent months.
Was there a point over the last few months when you seriously considered retirement? And at what point did you change your mind and decide to actually come back?
Yeah, that was definitely something I thought about. You know, I talked about how important being a full-timer was for a long time. This was the first time to spend the off-season away without a COVID year or a lockout year. And I enjoyed it. You know, I really did. I took time working on myself and and trying to better myself in a number of areas where I feel like I could improve based on my own patterns and conditioning. And it was a lot of growth in that process. I continued to find joy and happiness and things off the field. However, there's still a big competitive hole in my body that I need to fill. And as I got back into my workouts, I just realized that I know I can still play and I want to still play. And as long as I feel like I can give 100% to the team, then I should still play.
Out of the park. Very human, very honest. Sounds all into me. The one that gets a little pushback, his bite today, I've seen on the interweb, is where he talked about, hey, I want to stay in free agency. I want to go out and recruit for the organization. You know, Green Bay is, not only is it a small NFL, it's the smallest town in America with a pro sports team. It's tiny. They have one hotel. And he's like, listen, it's not a vacation mecca. Here's Aaron.
I think we can all understand, you know, Green Bay isn't, you know, a huge vacation destination. People are coming here to play with me, to play with our team, and knowing that they can win a championship here. And the fact that I haven't been used in those discussions was one I wanted to change moving forward. And I felt like based on my years, the way I can still play, that should be a natural part of the conversation. As that progressed from that point, nothing really changed on that front. So we got into March and the conversation changed.
No lies told. Sorry if it hurts your feelings, but, you know.
I mean, facts don't care about your feelings.
Yeah, he's not. You're going to play in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers. Nobody wanted to play for them when they had Lynn Dickey as a quarterback. They wanted to play with Brett Favre. They wanted to play with it. It's hard to get people to Green Bay. I've talked to multiple players. They're like, no, not interested. The only reason they're interested is Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
That is it. That is absolutely it.
So it sounds silly when he says that and says that the front office is not involving him in the recruiting process. So what exactly are you selling?
He also talks about wanting to be more involved.
When it comes to personnel stuff, it's not all personnel stuff that I'm talking about. I just want to be involved in conversations that affect my ability to do my job. And it's not all personnel. But I think I have a unique perspective being in a locker room and having been the starter here for 13 years and being here for 16 years. There's not many people who've been in a position of influence longer than I have in this building. So it gives me a unique perspective to shed light on how things work together. One of the most important things is chemistry and cohesion in an organization.
Don't have a problem with it. I do think you have to be very careful about players being GMs. The Randall Cobb story today comes out. That's not a good move by Green Bay. He's cost $10 million. He was a Pro Bowler 7 years ago. He gets hurt a lot. Not that I would push back. I do think Aaron should have a voice in the room. I do think you have to be careful. I mean, LeBron wanted Shabazz Napier drafted in Miami. Like, players are players, GMs are GMs. But I do think Tom Brady saying, hey, bring Gronk to Tampa. Great red zone. He can spread the gospel. We didn't have OTAs. We didn't have a preseason because of the pandemic. Gronk can spread sort of. He understands me, so I don't have to confront every issue. Gronk can go and to units, to practices, to players, say, hey, this is what Tom likes and prefers. I think that's important. And I do think if the price is right, now Gronk was pretty cheap. Antonio Brown, he wanted. Antonio Brown, despite his issues, can still play and cost nothing to Tampa. Like, he's a free player. So Randall right now is expensive, old, injury prone. Don't love that. I don't think that's a very smart move by Green Bay. And I do think they feel like they got to make up Aaron a little bit. And so they're probably doing that move for Aaron. That part is the only thing so far I've heard in the press conference I'd push back a little on, where I want to hear Aaron's opinions. But I would say, Aaron, I want your opinions, but you can't be offended if we don't take everything as gospel. But we want to hear what you're saying. But I go back to the 2020 draft. That's where all this discontent truly started. They had lost twice badly to San Francisco and pushed around by the Chargers. They needed more special players. And they drafted a prospect at quarterback, many believed to be a second-round player, a power running back who didn't play much, a blocking tight end and had no fourth-round pick because they gave it away to move up for the quarterback. It was a terrible first four rounds. No special players. You didn't address needs. It felt you were like strangely trying to get more physical, kind of, but you needed a linebacker, you needed a corner, you needed a wide receiver, and three great receivers went in the second round, and there you go. You could have had all three at the end of the first round. Michael Pittman, USC, Chase Claypool, Notre Dame, is good God, he was, how many touchdowns did he have last year? Nine receiving. I think he ran a few in. T. Higgins to Cincinnati looks to be exceptional. So, you know, I get it. Tired of waiting around for hot water. Navien, get instant hot water. Lower your bills. TanklessMadeSimple.com. TanklessMadeSimple.com. Joy, what do you make of it?
I thought it was very good. I even feel like the Randall Cobb situation, even though it does feel like it's Green Bay making it up to Aaron.
Yeah.
Based off of the way that he just worded that, had they listened to him ahead of time and he felt at least heard, that there wouldn't be so much of a push. Like, okay, now you have to do this. Like, if you give concessions, then you don't have to make overcorrections. And I think that's where they are right now.
Yeah, they feel like they're overcorrecting on Randall Cobb because they butchered the 2020 draft.
And they didn't listen to him.
I thought I was really good. I thought Aaron was great. I really did. And there'll be pushback, but I'm sorry. When I listen to him, when you consider the town it is, the organization, its history, his needs, your 2020 draft, ding, Aaron Rodgers, the clear winner today. See you tomorrow. It's The Herd.